Our gospel reading this morning comes once again from the Gospel of Luke and another one of Luke's parables. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are reminded in your word to constantly come before you with everything on our heart. And we admit that we often wonder why we should bother. So often prayers seem to go unanswered. So often we feel we aren't heard. And yet we hear your call. And we know the awesome privilege we have as your people of carrying everything to you in prayer. Encourage us, O God, to live our very lives in communion with you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So, apparently I can be a nag. I don't know if any of you have ever been told that in life. I don't even have a husband right now to tell me that, but it might possibly be from living with five men for so many years that I developed that habit. It could be the reverse for some, I suppose. I'm sure there are some women who tend not to get things done unless a man reminds them constantly. It's possible. Apparently, pigs can fly. But the reality is, no matter who does the nagging and who needs to be nagged, usually, mostly, even though one's back might go up at first, usually one gives in and does what's been asked of them. Now, I had the good fortune this summer to have a little misunderstanding with Bell Canada. I was offered a new, cheaper contract if I upgraded my phone. I made no promises, and actually, I had no intention of upgrading my phone because I got a really lovely Kate Spade phone case last year in New York, and that phone's going nowhere. Anyway, about an hour after I hung up, I received a contract via email saying I had agreed to a new, more expensive phone plan. I phoned back and said politely there must have been a misunderstanding. They changed my plan back to the original one. Perfect. And when I got my bill a few weeks later, I discovered they had indeed changed it back to the original plan. But they had charged me a $50 fee for changing my plans. That was August. Same thing in September when I got my bill, the $50 charge was there. And this week I got yet another bill with the same $50 charge still on the bill. So I spent about an hour and a half with Belle again this week until I finally, very politely, I want you to know, said, "You probably want to hand me over to your superior because I'm not going to be polite much longer." "I am the superior," she said. "Then I suggest you do whatever it is you need to do. Perhaps you want to go back and check the phone conversations I've had over the past 4 months. But I'm not hanging up until I see the $50 credit on my bill. Take your time." 4 months, 4 phone calls, and no bad language later, I finally got my money back. And I can tell you, it's not because they wanted to refund it. It's not because they thought they owed it to me. But I nagged and persisted until justice was done. And it was. A woman, a widow, someone with no man in the picture to support her, which was an important detail, pleads her case before an unjust judge. One of the most unlikely people to get her way. No power, no money, no man in her life. But she knows what she wants, and she knows what she deserves, and she's not giving up until she gets it. And it is granted to her. Justice is done. Not because the unjust judge wants to or feels she is worthy of it, simply because she just won't let up. Now let me remind you again, as I did a few weeks ago, I think it was clear in the passage, but sometimes we jump to conclusions. The unjust judge is not God. So remove that complication from the reading of this passage. God is God, our God, the God of mercy and justice. In comparison to the unjust judge, how much more will God reward the persistent pleas of his people? But will God find those who have faith in him? Faith in that promise of grace? Will there be those who are willing to go back again and again to our God, to the one who hears our deepest longings and hopes and dreams? Will there be those who care enough for justice among God's people? Will there be those who trust that through perseverance, justice will win? Well, has God found faith among those, among us who claim to follow him? In our words, in our actions, in our exchanges with the divine, do we persist? Do we continue to faithfully beg for justice, for righteousness, for all to be set right in our world? Or do we give up too easily, especially when we're not the ones with the problem? Do we live our lives with a determination to build a better world, or do we throw up our hands in despair and walk back to our good fortune? Good question, right? And I wonder what God's answer would be now, a few centuries since that parable was first penned. Has he found faith among his people? And what would it look like for us today to be persistent like the woman in the reading? How would that persistence show up in our daily lives? I think there are a few means by which we have an opportunity to demonstrate our persistence. One, I think, is by the work we do. We never lose our enthusiasm for working toward a congregation, toward a community, and toward a world where people feel honored for who they are, where the scales of justice, if anything, are balanced in favor of the downtrodden, where those who find no justice anywhere else find it in the warm embrace of the body of Christ. We have the opportunity to be the safe haven from the bullying which we know is so pervasive in today's world, if we choose to persevere. We can choose to persist in the way we talk with each other. We talk not with despair or with resignation, but with conviction and with hope for what we believe is possible. Over the past few months, it has been wonderful to read the book Fishing Tips with other members of our church council, and to spend a morning yesterday with them reflecting on a positive example of church growth rather than on church decline. We need to acknowledge the reality of the challenges we face, but then we need to persevere. We need to fight for what we want, both in word and indeed. Your council is committed to persevering for the future of this church, and you'll hear more about that at our next congregational meeting. And we can persist, we can persevere in prayer. We can constantly talk to our God. We can live in constant, ongoing communication with the divine. When we truly want, desire, long for something, then we must never stop sharing those longings and deep desires with our God, believing that even in the sharing itself, there is a positive energy generated that changes hearts and attitudes, and eventually, perhaps, even the way our world functions, the way we relate to one another. And I'm not talking just about 5 minutes a day, although that's a really good start. I'm talking about our lives being constantly lived in close association with that divine force that has the power to change hearts and communities and our world. So there you have it. Will God find faith? Does God find us today committed with our whole being to transform ourselves, our church, our community, our world? I wonder. So, here we are on October 20th. How can I avoid talking about tomorrow? This passage sort of leads us right into it, doesn't it? Now, don't get nervous. I'm not going to talk about party politics. Those of you on Facebook know what sign I have on my front lawn, but I don't believe it's all about the party, nor do I believe it is my place to influence anyone. So I don't want to talk about parties, but what I do want to say is this. However you vote tomorrow, and vote you must, once we have a new government in place, we must never, as a church and as individual followers of Jesus Christ, stop praying for, working for, and fighting for the justice which is at the very root of our faith. Regardless of what party or what coalition of parties will be governing our country, we must expect of all of them an active concern for the poor, the disadvantaged, those in despair whose cries must not be ignored. So be sure to vote. And be ready, as always, to be tireless in your faith, in your prayers for those less fortunate, and in your deeds of mercy and grace. We have an opportunity in this congregation to be a strong force within Oakville. We have an opportunity to extend to everyone who walks through our doors, to everyone we meet out there in our everyday lives, to extend the love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What an awesome responsibility, but what an exciting privilege. May God guide, strengthen, empower, and excite us for the journey ahead.